Moncrief on News Talk.
At the IMO conference at the weekend, one of the issues raised was about some of the problems immigrant doctors face when dealing with Irishisms. One doctor relayed how when he encouraged a patient to give up smoking, the patient replied, "I will, yeah." The doctor was delighted, but this was in Cork, where "I will, yeah" means the direct opposite to what the words literally mean. So why do we use words to shield our meaning as much as convey it? Denise Deegan is a writer and under the pen name Amy Alexander, the author of The Little Book of Irishisms. Denise, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Sean. How's it going?
Not too bad. Let's start with the word "grand." Because the interesting thing, one of the many interesting things about the way we use the word "grand," it means everything except the word "grand."
Yeah, I love the word "grand" for that reason. So one of the, and it ties in, I think, with what you're saying about no, us not being able to say no.
Yeah.
It's like somebody asks us, "Do we want something?" "You're grand."
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know what I mean? I think we have a problem saying no sometimes. I think it's our history. I think it's like the penal laws, you know? If you said no, you're kind of, that was the end of you. You know, like the hedge schools and all that, you know, we have this way of getting around things. We don't want to be too direct. I think the Germans can't stand us because we're like, "Would you ever just say what you want?" And we're kind of going, no, we don't even say no. We just find a way around it. And of course, grand is fantastic because it's kind of our own little secret code, isn't it? Because it's like somebody asks you, "How are you?" And you say "grand." A non-national would think, oh, they're good. They're great.
Mm.
And we're kind of going, we're just like, okay.
Yeah, that's in the middle.
Yeah. And if you, unless you say like "grand out" or "grand altogether," and then you're great. But like, how does somebody who's not from Ireland interpret all of that? I guess intonation helps, but
yeah.
I kind of like that it's a bit hazy.
Yeah. Well, if somebody said, you know, if you go to a movie and somebody asks you what was it, you say, "I was grand."
Yeah.
That's like damning with faint praise.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be recommending that one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be rushing to someone and say it was grand. And I wouldn't even bother asking them why it was grand. It's kind of like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
And that's another one.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So we can use the word "no," but only when there's a "yeah" in front of it.
I think we just soften it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe the younger generation are getting a little bit more edgy, but I just think it's kind of like, it's who we are. And I think our words say an awful lot about who we are. You know, like the whole thing with notions, right?
Mm.
If you said to somebody else from a different country, "Oh God, she's notions," or just "notions."
Yeah.
The person wouldn't really get it. Only an Irish person knows the significance of someone having notions. It's like the worst thing you can have.
Mm.
Like we have our own language. And in fact, what started me writing this book, like I had no intention to write the book. I've been a novelist. I'm now a screenwriter as well. But at the time I was a novelist and I had no thoughts about language really, except I was just producing it. But I was in New York with a friend of mine. And you know when you're like with a pal and you get on really well and you're not guarding what you're saying. You're not saying, "Oh, she's American. She won't understand." It's like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, "Here, give me that yolk."
Yeah.
And she's like looking at me and I'm and I suddenly realize we really do have a colourful way of speaking our language. And we have words that are, we think they're English words or we use them with all the rest of our English words, but they are absolutely unique to us, like banjaxed.
Mm.
Like if something is broken, that's not quite banjax. Banjax is you're kind of, there's no coming back.
That's
from banjax. That's
broken,
like it.
Yes.
And I don't know, what's the English equivalent of that? Is there?
No. Well, it'd be destroyed. But then again, that's an Irishism to say destroyed.
I think we've got the best words.
Yeah.
We do. And then there's like bockety. Nobody knows what that is. Do you know what I mean? And that comes from the Irish language. That comes from bockock, which means lame. And then there's like foostering, which is so like expressive. It's like someone's looking for something, but they're kind of doing it in a really kind of higgly piggly way. They're kind of like looking for their keys, but they're not exactly doing a great job. They're not starting zone A and moving to zone Z. They're all over the place. Like, who else has got foostering? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because of the Irish language influence, it's because Irish is an inordinately polite language.
Yeah.
That, you know, that we go out of our way not to offend while being able to offend.
Absolutely.
That must be a direct influence on Hiberno English.
I think so. I absolutely do. And then we'll do things like we'll say, "Thanks a million." Like, people smile at me when I say, oh, thanks a million. I don't even think about saying it. I just say it. Like, I don't just say thanks. It's thanks a million. And it's kind of like people look at you and they think, oh, that's really quaint or brilliant. Like, okay, everybody knows what brilliant means, but nobody says brilliant the way we do. We just go like brilliant. And people are looking at you and go, oh, that's really quaint. Irish people must say that. And then there's words that are, you know, used in the English language and we just use them our own way. For example, somebody will say to me, like a friend or something, will say something funny. I'll go, oh, that's gas. They'll understand because in context, I'm being, you know, they were being funny and I'm commenting on that. But I just love the way we have a whole range of words that we just use them the way we use them.
Yeah. Now, the phrase your man or your woman.
Yes.
You had a recent experience of that being misinterpreted.
Yeah. So I write with two European writers. They are so fluent in English, it would frighten you. And we were chatting on a three-way call and I kept saying, your man, blah, 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 your man. And it, just because we couldn't be bothered thinking the name of the person. But again, once you're with friends and you're chatting away and you assume they're with you. But then every time I said your man, there was kind of a tiny silence. And then after a while, my friend, who's actually Russian living in Finland, she actually revealed that she was really kind of hurt because she thought I was implying that this guy that we were talking about was like she was having an affair with him. and they took a bit of, like a good bit of explanation to say, no, in Ireland, we just say your man when we just mean any guy.
Mm.
And it was like I had to talk her down. Like she was literally insulted, and I don't think she believed me in the beginning. She did in the end.
Yeah, I wonder why we do refer to your man. Is it, I can't think of their name, so I'm just going to call them your man.
I think that's it. I think it's just laziness. Couldn't be bothered, your man, your woman. Like, I just don't want to find the word.
Yeah.
And also this kind of like, well, you know who I mean. Your man.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 No, you're mad.
Come on.
One of our listeners says, I'm from Africa. When I first came to Ireland 35 years ago, someone said I was just codding. I knew cod was a fish. So I thought the person was thinking I was being nosy, as in fishing. Oh. And later I learned codding was joking.
Oh, wow.
I lived in the UK in the 80s. I used grand all the time. Everyone was laughing at me. 2 years later, all my friends and work colleagues are using it and love the way we use it in Ireland. Many question marks. When I lived in New York, I used to confuse my colleagues by asking, did anyone see my Mala? Okay, that confuses me, actually. My favourite is the use of I'm sure in response to a question, where it means you're guessing. I'm sure it's going to rain and I'm sure this is the way to get there. Yeah. People do say that. And people say bye 14 times hanging up the phone. I don't know why they do that either. Do you think it's dying out, though?
What?
The use of Irishisms.
No, I think it's, if anything, it's going the other way. Like if you're looking on social media, there's so many people talking about Irishisms, talking about their experience, just like the listeners calling in, people talking about being married to an Irish person and all the kind of crazy things, you know, that come up.
Mm.
Like, I mean, you kind of do almost need a dictionary, like giving out. Like in other countries, they don't do giving out.
Mm.
You know, we give out to people.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think as well, this, you know, you were saying about, I'm sure. Then there's this whole thing of sure look, sure listen. It's kind of like, don't draw me on this one. It's kind of like, I think if anything, people are leaning into it. You know, and there's that guy on I see him on Instagram and I think he's hilarious. Garen,
yeah.
have you come across him? He is like so funny. Which also brings me to something else we do that other people are a bit like taken aback with initially, and that is our use of colour, shall we say.
Mm.
You know, the
swearing. Yeah.
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 Yeah, we're like, I do it all the time and I only notice it when I'm talking to someone, especially in the States. They're so clean. And even the English would be like definitely less colourful than we are.
Yeah. years ago, I was I worked on this TV show, and it was a kind of a candid camera thing.
Oh, I love that.
And we employed actors, and we had a kind of a, we had a psychologist who was kind of commenting on the reactions of people to what the actors are doing. But we got this young actor, and she and we were in Galway, and she was stopping tourists specifically and saying, "I'm doing this questionnaire for Bord Fáilte to ask you about the service and all the rest of it." So the gag was that she'd start asking them questions, and then she'd chat with them, and then she'd throw in a swear word. And by the end of the thing, she was swearing swearing her brains out.
So funny.
Nobody objected to it. Not one person. And like, I jump out of a bush afterwards and ask them how they felt about it. And they all said more or less, "I know she was swearing. It's just the way you do it is so much nicer that it doesn't feel threatening."
I think that's a huge thing. I think wherever we go, people love us. And I think the main reason, I'm not joking, is that we are not threatening.
Yeah.
We're not threatening people. And I think for that reason, people give us kind of a little bit of a break.
Yeah. And the reason why I asked you about, is it dying away? Because you kind of, you know, perfect. Like going to buy a cup of coffee or going to a hotel and they say, they always say perfect. Like what? And that doesn't sound Irish to me. It sounds kind of some bland international language. I'd be worried about that would replace it.
I think language does change. So, for example, I wrote novels under my own name, Denise Deegan. And then some of my novels, the rights of those novels came back to me. And I decided, well, rather than keeping them in a drawer, I'd self-publish them. And I did them under my pseudonym, Amy Alexander. What was really interesting to me was about 8 years had passed, and so much had changed in our language in that time. You wouldn't believe it. Mm. Like, example, "I amn't." We don't really say "I amn't" anymore, or "isn't." Like, we just change the emphasis of the combining of those two words. And I found it fascinating the way language does change over time. Like, I mean, I think very few people would say, like, "foostering" now, for example. But then in other ways, I think it's kind of almost more strong in terms of our identity and young people and using things like "grand" and "crack." And that's another obviously confusing one. And I think people love the confused deliberately as well. You know, just a chance
around. Well, I don't know what the foreigners do. But "crack" has multiple meanings as well. Yeah. It can mean fun, but it can be like, what's going on?
Yeah. What's the news? Yeah. What's up?
Crack?
Yeah.
It always puts pressure on you to come up with something.
Yeah, that's true too. That's a good point.
I work in retail. I've gained a love for the phrase "I will, yeah." because I assume, yeah. I love when my Eastern European friends living here swear in their required Dublin accents.
Oh, lovely.
And someone has pulled in on the Macroom bypass because they really like your laugh.
Oh, good.
It's a very joyous laugh.
Oh, that's so lovely to hear. Thank you. Do you know a story about my laugh?
Go on about
my laugh a bit. When my father-in-law had Alzheimer's and he couldn't recognise anybody anymore, and I laughed, he remembered me. Isn't that the cutest thing? I know.
Isn't it odd? The things that stay in that when they have Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Apparently music as well kind of stays with people a wee bit long.
That's some strange reason.
Yeah. Gosh. Denise, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today. That was a nice
kind of
that conversation went everywhere.
I know.
Really.
It always happens to me.
That was Denise Deegan there also, who writes as Amy Alexander.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.